Good morning. Welcome to New Community Church Online. I am Pastor Dustin, the student pastor and experienced team lead, and we are so glad you are here with us this morning. Why don't you go ahead, take a second, comment below, let us know you're watching, where you're watching from, what creamer you put in your coffee, say hello to a couple friends, whatever you want to put to just let us know that you are here watching with us this morning. And we are in our series on marriage and relationships called Till Death Do Us Part. And as we get started this morning, I need to make a confession. Occasionally, I enjoy a good romantic comedy. 51st Dates, Just Go With It, and the best rom-com to ever exist, Fever Pitch. These are all solid, solid movies that I thoroughly enjoy watching. And with baseball season getting ready to start back up, my annual viewing of Fever Pitch is right around the corner. I have to kick off the Red Sox season by watching Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore and laugh and cry and remember the 2004 Red Sox season that was absolutely amazing. But I enjoy a good romantic comedy. But to be clear, I don't like sappy, just pure romantic movies. I remember the first time I ever watched A Walk to Remember, I cried like a baby, and I don't like doing that, so I'm not going to watch that again. Movies like The Notebook doesn't make sense to me, and the only reason Jerry Maguire is even a bearable film at all is because there's football in it. But I think one of the biggest reasons that I enjoy these movies and I'm able to sit through them, aside from the comedy aspect, is because I've found my person, so to speak. I've found the person I'd sell my Red Sox season tickets for, like Jimmy Fallon did for Drew Barrymore in Fever Pitch. But I'd have to imagine that these movies aren't so bearable and aren't so enjoyable for single people. I mean, there's a reason almost every girl ever has a go-to breakup movie. And it's not because it's fun to watch other people happy and getting what you want out of life. It's because it's emotionally devastating and it gets all the tears out while you ugly cry to your best friend over a pint of Ben and Jerry's complaining that there's no good men left in Manhattan. They're not enjoyable. They hurt. They bring up pain. And I feel like the same thing happens in churches when we talk about marriage and relationships. We come in here and we glamorize and we romanticize marriage. Yeah, we talk about the tough topics, but let's be real. If you're married listening in, it's easier to have those hard conversations when it's with someone who you love and loves you back. See, we as Christians, we seem to put a high priority on being married. When we meet a single Christian, we ask questions like, oh, are you seeing anyone? Do you have a significant other? Or we just automatically assume that somebody is married. And then, you know, if they're not married, but they tell us they have a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and they're adults, the question is, oh, well, you know, are you two planning on getting married? When are you tying the knot? All of these things. And because of that, I've noticed that single people start to tune out the church when they talk about relationships. They don't lean into series like the one we're in now. They don't like to come to church or a pastor for their relationship advice because they're always met with, you know, marriage is amazing. Just wait until you're married. It's going to be fantastic. But the truth is that the church sometimes is no better than those romantic movies. Sometimes the church is no better than those romantic movies, and we simply serve as a painful reminder that someone is single. We become the catalyst for tears, for bitterness, for depression. The church tends to act like your adult life isn't complete, that you're not going to be fulfilled until you're married, and that you shouldn't be content until that happens. I know several single people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who start to tune out the church because they come and they're like, oh, we're going to talk about marriage and we're going to talk about relationships. And they know it's just going to be that reminder, like all of these romantic films, that they're not happy, that the thing that the world says should fulfill them is not happening, so they are not fulfilled. And let me make something clear. The way the church portrays marriage and relationships is good, but the way we seemingly put down people that are single, whether on purpose, intentionally or not, is not biblical. It's not a biblical view of marriage, something to be strived for, and that, you know, your life won't be complete until you're married. That's not biblical. It's not a biblical view of singleness, and it's not a biblical view of a fulfilled life and what a life fulfilled and what a life complete really looks like. See, Scripture paints a much, much different picture. And don't hear me wrong. Marriage is a beautiful thing. I am happily married. I love my wife. I love the life that we have together. It is a beautiful thing, and marriage should be celebrated. But so should singleness. Singleness, when lived out correctly, can be just as beautiful as marriage when lived out correctly. And in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And something very important to remember about Corinth is that this was not a Christian place. The city was at the heart of a very important and busy trade route, so it had a mix of all sorts of backgrounds and cultures and influences. It was known as a place of corruption, of sexual immorality, and it was the home to the Temple of Aphrodite, which was well known in the area for all of the wrong reasons. So Corinth was not a great place to be trying to teach people the importance of a healthy marriage or a healthy single life. Needless to say, the local church there in Corinth that Paul is writing to was struggling under all of these influences, absolutely struggling under all of these influences. And the church there became pretty divisive over a few big issues. And something that I like to remind myself about Paul's letters is that they were just that. They were letters. Paul wrote these just, you know, in long parchment, and they were delivered to churches, and they were meant to be read all in one sitting. There weren't chapter breaks and, you know, headings and everything that we have that help us better understand. They didn't have that. They would read it all in one sitting. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth, and he starts off strong with words against division, with wisdom about the crucifixion. Then he jumps right into sexual immorality and marriage and relationships. And tucked into the section about marriage and relationships, Paul throws in a praise for single people, a praise for singleness. Check it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, the apostle writes, "I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him." Can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. And what Paul is trying to say here to the church in Corinth, and he's trying to say to us 21st century Christians now, living almost 2,000 years later, is to be concerned about the right things. The church in Corinth wasn't concerned about the right things, and today we can tend to not be concerned about the right things. And in the greater context of this verse, Paul just got done talking about how Christ's return is imminent. Christ is coming back soon. So we as Christians should be living every day as if Christ could return that day. And while it's easy to look and say, Paul, dude, you wrote this 2,000 years ago. Jesus didn't come back then, and he hasn't come back yet. It's easy to say that and just kind of downplay the return of Christ, but we should still be living as if Jesus were coming back tomorrow. And that means doing whatever we can to make his name known and his name great so that as many people as possible can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in Paul's eyes, it's abundantly clear when he writes in 1 Corinthians that there's a tremendous benefit to being single that I think is often overlooked. And that's that the single person can focus more on kingdom work. The single person can focus more on kingdom work than the married person. And that's what Paul says in verse 32. But Paul writes it like it's a given. Like the normal response is to fill our free time with serving the kingdom. But that doesn't seem to be the normal go-to, does it? No. Because people read that and they think Paul is saying, cool, you have this free time to go play Warzone with the boys, or you have this free time to go travel with the girls. And that's not what he's saying. That's what the world says. Imagine your priorities as a ladder. You have different rungs all leading up to the top. And this ladder, it represents our priorities. And for the single person, Paul says, look, you don't have as much to worry about as everybody else, so put serving the kingdom of God at the very top, all the way at the top. That's what Scripture teaches. But what the world teaches looks different. Like a lot of different things in life, what the world says should be has crept in to our Christian lives. And so to the single person, the world says, well, you don't have a family, you don't have a spouse, you don't have anything holding you back from pursuing your career at the highest level possible. Make that your main focus. So the world says, put your career all the way up here, the top rung of the ladder, the tip top. That is your highest and utmost priority. And then the world says, well, because you work so hard, you deserve to play hard as well. You spend all this time at work, you need to prioritize a social life. You know, all work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy. So make sure that you throw a social life in there after your career. And so serving the kingdom gets bumped down. And it gets bumped down. And then the world teaches that after a career and a social life, we should strive to have a certain lifestyle. We should try to keep up with the Joneses. We should want the fastest car, the biggest house, the most exotic vacations. And before we know it, serving the needs of the kingdom is no longer at the top. It's not even on the second, third, fourth rung. Before we know it, because we've let the world dictate what our priorities should be, serving the church has fallen completely off of the ladder. And single people, that tends to be what they're told, what they hear from a worldly perspective. But I don't think the church has done a great job of teaching anything really different. Like, let's give an honest evaluation of the church when we talk about marriage and relationships and singleness. We put marriage at the tip top of the ladder. We talk to single people and we use words and verbiage that make it sound like marriage should be the highest priority. That is the pinnacle of human adult life, is to be married. But if you are single, let me be real. You have more time, more free time, to focus on serving God and benefiting the kingdom than I do. And that's just true. That's not a knock on being married. That's not a knock on my wife. It's simply true. And I have no idea what my life and my activity in the church would look like if I weren't a pastor. Like, to be completely honest, I would love to say that I would spend just as much time devoted to the church as I do now, but that's probably not the case. And so, you know, being married throws in a lot of distractions that single people don't have to worry about. That's what Paul says. I want you to be concerned about serving the Lord. Be concerned about the right things. And Paul knew that marriage threw in distractions. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 33 and 34, He goes on and says, but a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit, but a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. And right there in the middle, Paul says their interests are divided. Because, like, just being honest, as a married man, I have to take my spouse into consideration. If I just start making decisions without taking her into consideration, that's not going to go well. That's not going to end well. That's not going to put us in a healthy place. To a certain extent, I need to be concerned. I need to be mindful of earthly responsibilities, as Paul puts it. Because I've been entrusted to love and take care of another human being. I need to make sure that she has food, that she has shelter, that she has safety, that she has reliability. And because of that, I'm less flexible than a single person. And my top rung on my ladder can start to look kind of crowded. And so I really hope that we can start to see being single as an opportunity, not a hindrance. The Apostle Paul saw it as an opportunity. He saw it as something beneficial to the kingdom of God, not an area of lacking. What he saw was that singleness, if called to that lifestyle by God, is to be celebrated, not looked down on. Singleness is to be celebrated, not looked down on. And the call is the same for everyone in this section in 1 Corinthians 7. Married, unmarried, widowed, divorced, whatever. The call is all the same, and that is let serving God be your top priority. No matter what your life looks like, if in this ladder of priorities, serving God should be at the very top. But he says there's a benefit to being single because you are more free to do those things. And in terms of being single, Paul says, if you can live with sexual integrity and remain single, do it. Do it. You won't have to worry about these earthly responsibilities as much as the married person. But if you can't abstain, if you can't live with sexual integrity while single, then marry, but still prioritize serving the Lord. Prioritize serving the local church. Prioritize serving the kingdom of God. And while Paul's call in this passage is to serve the Lord, I don't think that's the biggest lesson to take away from the passage if you're single. I don't. Like, don't hear this as, oh, you're single, I expect you to sign up and volunteer in X, Y, and Z and fill up all of your time. No, I don't expect that from you. If you want to and you feel led, absolutely. Get you plugged in. We have ways you can serve without even being here in person. Just let us know. I would be thrilled to talk to you about that. But that's not the main takeaway. That's not the main takeaway for single people. No, I think the main takeaway is that we should never seek fulfillment from another human being. We should never seek fulfillment from another person. The whole idea of you complete me is a lie from the deepest pits of the underworld, like, just to put it bluntly. Like, I believe that that is a lie created by the enemy to distract Christians from doing the work that they've been called to do. No human being can complete us. No human being can fulfill us, make us whole, or fill that God-sized longing in your spirit. Only God can do that. Only God can fulfill. Only God can totally complete. And I know some of you are tuning in and you're saying, like, Dustin, I get what you're saying, but singleness is a gift that I didn't ask for. And I get that. Paul talks about being called to singleness as a lifestyle, and since he refers to it as a calling, that means that not everyone will receive it. Not every single person who is single right now is being called to a life of singleness. You're not. And I know it's difficult to discern, but that means that if you're single, you need to be praying for God to reveal His will to you. We should all be praying that prayer, but if you're single, maybe God is calling you to lifelong singleness. And that's a hard reality for some people. And I want you to know that I sympathize with you. I know you're probably thinking, Dustin, you're married. You and your wife have been married for almost 5 years. You've been together since you were 18. You can't understand. And you're right. I can't. But I have found myself longing for and wanting something so bad. And God said no. I know what that's like. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. But I want you to take encouragement from what Paul says here. Paul was on fire for God, and God called him to lifelong singleness. You know, some people speculate later on in Letter to the Corinthians, Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh, and, you know, he cried out for God to take it away from him 3 times, and every time God said no. And there are some biblical scholars that speculate that what Paul's referring to is singleness. We don't have definitive proof, but that's just a sign that Paul understands what it's like to be single. He understands what it's like to long for companionship. But Paul's encouragement stays the same, that there are benefits to having a single lifestyle, to pray and seek God's will, and to find fulfillment in who God is, to find fulfillment in who God created you to be and what He created you to do. And some of you are tuning in, you're listening, and God hasn't called you to lifelong singleness, but right now you're single. And it's a struggle. And you long for that relationship. You long for that companionship. And you know you've prayed and you've audibly felt or heard God saying, no, I have someone for you. I promise. But it hasn't happened yet. For you, I pray for wisdom, for perseverance, for patience, and for you also to continue to be fulfilled by Christ. Let Christ and Christ alone fulfill you. Christ and Christ alone keep you. Christ and Christ alone give you the energy to push through, to serve the local church, to serve the kingdom of God. And guys, I get it. That Jerry Maguire moment is enticing. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Tom Cruise busts into Renee Zellweger's house, and he talks about how hard his life is as a millionaire and a sports agent and dealing with all of these egos and personality. And then he says the famous line of, you complete me. And Renee Zellweger just melts like putty, and you had me at hello. And it's sweet, and it's touching, and it's not real. It's not. That's not something we should strive for. It's enticing. It's tempting to want that, to lay your heart bare before someone, to tell them that they are the person who makes you feel whole, that makes you complete, and for them to love you back and run into your arms. But it's not real. And it doesn't last. So we shouldn't strive for that. And we shouldn't take relationship cues from Tom Cruise or romance movies anyway. When doing my study for this message, I came across an article in Relevant Magazine titled, The Myth of You Complete Me. The Myth of You Complete Me. And it did a really, really good job of using this exact passage in 1 Corinthians 7 to completely dismantle this you complete me mindset that has invaded our world really since before Jerry Maguire even uttered those words. And the closing section of this article had this to say. Listen to this. What this comes down to is a check on a culture that makes too much of marriage. And if we make too much of marriage, we make too little of our relationship with God. Whew. When we make too little of our relationship with God, don't miss this last line. When we make too little of our relationship with God, we undercut our source of love. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything in my life to undercut the source of love in this world. We are able to love because God first loved us. And whenever we put something above God, no matter how good of a thing it seems to be, whenever we put anything above God, before God, when we place it higher on that ladder than we place our relationship, we diminish God's power in our lives. And when we diminish our relationship with God in pursuit of marriage, we distance ourselves from the only being who can truly love us 100%, 100% of the time. And I say that as a married man. My wife cannot love me 100%, 100% of the time. I know there are times when being married to me is difficult. I know there are times that there have been times in our relationship, there will be times in the future that loving me is hard. That's true for all of us. And when we diminish our relationship with God in pursuit of marriage, we distance ourselves from the only being who can love us, truly love us, 100%, totally and completely. And if you're single, I urge you to not look at your marital status as a drawback, but an opportunity to serve in greater ways. Don't seek to be fulfilled by another person, but seek to be fulfilled by God. And I personally can't help you on your walk in singleness. I can't. I wish I could, but what I can help you with, what the other pastors on staff can help you with, what good, strong Christian friends can help you with, is encouraging you and pointing you in the right direction and giving you the right tools to be fulfilled by God, to not seek fulfillment from another person, but to seek fulfillment from the only being who can truly love you 100%. I want to leave you with Paul's words in verse 35 of this section of 1 Corinthians 7. He writes, "I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place a restriction on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." Church, that should be our goal, married or single, to serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you that a marriage relationship is not the pinnacle of human experience. Because, Father, if that were the case, then some people would just be lacking. Father, that is not what you have called us to. You have called us to be fulfilled in who you are, who you created us to be, and what you created us to do. Father, I pray for my single brothers and sisters. I pray that they will discover and discern your will for their life. If it's lifelong singleness, Father, comfort them. Fulfill them. Show them how they can have a fulfilled and meaningful life, even when it seems hard. Father, for my single brothers and sisters who you haven't called to lifelong singleness but are struggling with that situation right now, I pray that you will comfort them and fulfill them also. Give them patience. Give them perseverance. Father, help your church to celebrate singleness as much as we celebrate marriage. Help us regain a biblical view of singleness. Father, help us encourage one another to serve you wholeheartedly with as few distractions as possible. Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are single and you listened this morning and you're like, Dustin, I get it, but you are way far off, shoot me a message. Shoot me an email. Shoot me a text. Whatever. Like, I'm open to being corrected if I misspoke or I said something. You know, I want to learn. I want to learn more. So if I said something and you're like, maybe not quite, man, reach out to me. Let's talk. I would love to learn and hear about your experience. And guys, next week, Pastor Rob is going to be wrapping up this series, Till Death Do Us Part. It's going to be a great message to close out this series. We hope you tune in. Have a great week.